I am so thankful that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in our way, and when we fall, we will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth us with His hand. Aren't you glad for that? Well, according to our calendar, the world celebrates this day, at least our part of the world, as Father's Day. Now, as Christians, we really want to take every opportunity we can to give glory to God for the family. And this is a wonderful opportunity to do that. And today, we're going to be looking at Isaiah 64 and verse 8, and many other passages. And I want to speak to you about a father that changes the world. Now, this is also a very special day because we have a very special little baby that we will be dedicating today. Bryce Thomas Babineau comes, and we think of him, and we think of his whole life in front of him and all that he has, and we want for not only Jeff, but every father in this room and every man to do their very best, because there is a generation in front of us that will be the world in not very long. And so how can a father change the world? By changing his own family. We read in Isaiah 64 and verse 8, "Would you stand out of great respect for God's holy word? We have no other foundation. This is the preserved word of God. It will never change. This is the truth that you can set your life on, and you will never be disappointed in it. It is true." We read in Isaiah in this great prophecy, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art the potter. And we all are the work of Thy hand." Amen. Let's pray. Father, as You are our Father, help us all as Your children to be moldable in Your hand. Help us to have tender and soft hearts every day of our life. Guard us from presumptuous sins. Guard us from things that we're not even aware of. Iniquity in our heart that dwells in the corners. Oh God, take the Brillo pad of Your word this morning and get into the corners and get the nitty gritty. And Lord, put the water, the soothing water of Your word to refresh us, to know that we are clean, that our hands are pure and our hearts are clean. Thank You, God, for fathers here today. Help us to reflect You in this world, especially to our families. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it is Father's Day, and fathers are molders. God has given us an awesome authority as the heads of our home, and we can either use it for good or use it neglectfully and have a deformed vessel at the end of it. We have great power in our family as men. And God has given us this awesome and sobering opportunity to form the children of our home. Now, how can we as fathers and men, as the heads of the households of this congregation, how can we have a vision for what God has for the home? Well, I don't want you to look just simply at your children. I want you to think in your mind's eye to those that your children will bear, to those who are not even born yet, because that's who we're trying to reach. We are training our children so that they may train others. And I'm so delighted and really enthused about this day because I've been thinking about it for quite a long time. And what I hope to show you this morning through an acronym, F-A-T-H-E-R, is what a godly father looks like. And this evening, we're going to come back and I'm going to show you how you can train your children in daily family worship. And that's going to be really exciting because we're going to see how very simple it is to have family worship and how that will mold their character, bring them to Christ, and you'll be training the generations to come through daily family worship. You can do it. Everyone here can do it. But I want to show you fathers today, this morning, right now, how you can change the world. We're going to begin with the letter F. F stands for fence. Fences are important. And the father is a fence for his family, for his home. A fence is a barrier of protection. You men have been called to protect the vulnerable of our congregation, specifically from your little flock. Now, this is not just, obviously this is given for men, but God also is a God to all those, even those who don't have a father in the home. And so mothers, you who do not have husbands, you mothers are a fence to your children. And God is a father to the fatherless. And so listen, this is mainly for fathers, but ladies, you need to listen up too. Now, fathers, you are, first of all, a protector for your wife. Because if you don't keep your wife near and close to you, and you don't keep her protected, you're not going to have a family. You're not going to be in the home. You're going to have a broken family, a broken fence. And all kinds of intruders are going to come in and destroy your children. So, men, it is your responsibility to be a protector, a fence around your wife. If you want to be a great dad, love your wife as Christ loved the church. So Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:25, Satan will do everything that he can to destroy your marriage so that there is no fertile ground for your children to grow up in. And if your marriage is destroyed, there is an extremely high probability that you will lose your children to Satan and to the world. You see, if you cannot maintain your marriage, how can you ever train your children in godliness? Let me say that the first part of this fence is centered around intimacy in the marriage. Marital intimacy is important in the marriage. You are, men, look at me, listen to me, fathers, you are to love your wife and only your wife. You hear me this morning? There is not room in a marriage for a third party. Amen? Amen. You are to love your wife, Paul tells us. I believe it's Paul who wrote Hebrews. You can dispute with me afterwards if you want. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let me be very plain. Pornography is a growing problem in our culture. With instant access to the internet, even professing Christian men have fallen into the trap of pornography. God's ideal is that you men would direct all 100% of your intimate energy to your wife and her alone. That is, all of your thoughts and all of your desires. You may freely have as many as you want for one woman. Oh, that is a fence that is being torn down today. Men, if you look at a billboard or a magazine, and you are tempted to lust after that woman, cast that imagination down. You have not sinned. But if you put your mind again on that woman and look on her once again to lust after her, you have what? You have committed adultery with her in your heart, and you are now destroying, you're letting the destroyer inside your fence. And you are hurting your family. You are hurting your children. Don't be fooled, because Proverbs 6:26 tells us that adultery will destroy your life. It will have consequences on your life that can never be erased in this lifetime. The scripture says, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread." This is Proverbs 6:26. And it says, "The adulteress will hunt for the precious life, for the very soul of that man." Verse 32 says, "Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding." Are we all in agreement with that? Because he doesn't even know that he destroyeth his own soul. "A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away." You men who are tempted, when you throw that lust at that woman, you are throwing away your own soul. And understand that if you are a Christian, you can be freed from this. I want to give you hope. If you know Jesus Christ and you're mired in pornography, you don't have to go a day longer. If Jesus Christ is Lord, you can submit to Him, and you don't have to let any sin have dominion over your mortal body. Jesus died, and He conquered death, hell, and the grave to deliver you from pornography here today, if you're a man who is under that slave master. Now, women, let me tell you, mothers, wives, you need to make sure that you take care of your husband intimately. You must keep him satisfied, and he will desire no one else. It is your responsibility. The Song of Solomon 4:12 tells us that the intimacy of a woman is sealed up for her spouse, for her husband alone. And so, husbands and wives, keep your intimacy sound. Keep that fence up, and you may not think on anyone else. Anything outside of the marriage bed is adultery. Anything. Now, let me say this. The man is also to protect his wife emotionally. 1 Peter 3:7, if you turn there. Not only intimately, but emotionally, it is the husband's duty to protect his wife. The Bible says that he should protect her with his consideration, by considering her. It says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." In other words, if you want to have a strong marriage for your children, talk to your wife all the time and be really interested in what she has to say. Talk to your wife. Talk to her. Let her be herself with you. Just come home and be ready to listen to everything. You don't have to have a solution for everything, men. Now, that's what you're going to be tempted to do. Oh, you have A problem and B problem and C problem? Well, this widget will fix it. It will fix everything. Let me tell you this. And she doesn't care about the solution. She wants you to listen to her. Dwell with her according to knowledge. Understand that she wants to lean on your shoulder and to know that you're there, that she can communicate with you. Men, you may not care that there's a sale at JCPenney's this week. You may not really care about the latest in quilting magazine. But she wants to know that you may not care about those things, but you care about her. And therefore, quilting and sales at JCPenney's are important, as long as she doesn't have the checkbook. No, I'm just kidding. But it was on. It was $599, but it was on sale. It's normally $605. You can protect your wife by simple consideration of her hurts and her trials. Listen to her. And also, she needs your care. She needs your care. It says, "Giving honor unto the wife," this is 1 Peter 3:7, "giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." Now, this doesn't mean that she's weaker intellectually. In fact, many times that is not the case. We're all given different gifts and abilities by the sovereignty of God. But physically, generally speaking, ladies are weaker than men. And emotionally, in many cases, ladies are weaker than men. And what this means is not that she is less refined, but that she is more refined. A lady needs the care of an exquisite and expensive vase. That vase is to be carefully and gently handled. Men, how do you talk to your wife? Do you order her around? Do you talk to her like you talk to one of your male friends? Bad idea. How do you like to be talked to? Do you like to be screamed at? Do you like to be talked to, down to sometimes? You should never do that. You should always have the utmost gentleness in your voice and the care in your life for her. She needs extreme care and gentleness. Give her honor. Open the door for her. Make her feel like the queen that she is. We know that behind every good man is an even better woman. We all know the secret to success, men. You care for that woman because she is driving your success. Finally, to protect your wife, she needs your communion. Spiritual communion. The verse ends by saying, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It's not directly in the Bible, but I think it's inferred. The couple that prays together stays together. If you pray with your wife, you are going to have a wonderful marriage because you're joint heirs together of the grace of life. God has poured out grace, and you're not going to be able to have all that God has for you if you don't have communion with your wife. So if you're considerate and you're caring for your wife, that's not enough. You need to take time. You need to stop and ask the one that is going to hold that marriage together for all the things that he has promised you together with your wife. You see, if there's a breach in the husband-wife relationship, you know what it does? It closes the windows to heaven for you. And so you need to lay your gift at the altar and be reconciled with your spouse if there's anything there. You need to have communion. So the father is, first of all, a fence for his wife. Secondly, he's a fence for his children. Now, those of you ladies that are single mothers, I want you to listen to this because you have to step in and you have to be this for your children. And also mothers in a secondary way are a fence for their children. But the father has the responsibility to make sure this happens. Even though he's not in the home most of the time, he's working. But he has the responsibility to make sure a fence is around the children. We find this in Ephesians 6:4. It says, ye fathers, it says, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There is a positive protection and a negative protection in this verse. The positive part of protecting your children is putting up the boundaries and putting up lots of things that will benefit them inside the fence. You know, in our backyard, we've got a swing set. We've got a little neat thing that we just got. It's like a bench that you sit on and you open it up and there's toys on the inside of that bench. And the children, anytime they want, can go out into the backyard and pick up the bat and the ball and just have a great time. And there's lots of things for them to do. They can run, they can be healthy, they can enjoy the flowers. They can, many times they'll take the hose and they'll water the flowers in the flower garden. And here you have all these wonderful things inside the fence. Fathers, in your home, you're to make sure that everything godly that will benefit your children is in that home. You've got to put it there because it's not there by their nature, is it? Everything's against you. You've got all the bad things in your yard when you begin with that child. Rebellion, lying, all of that. And you got to make sure there are things in there like the Ten Commandments. You can teach your children the Ten Commandments. What a wonderful thing to guard your children and to have the positive protection, which the Bible calls nurture. You see, there, you need to have the right kinds of influences inside that fence. And they need to see the Father, the Heavenly Father, in their earthly father. They need to see the love. God is extreme in His love, isn't He? He's extravagant. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And they also need to see the radical firmness against sin. Does God ever allow sin into His presence? God is light, and in Him is what? no darkness at all. You cannot allow anything questionable inside of your fence, inside of your home. Be careful what you allow inside the fence. I would never let a dog that I wasn't familiar with loose inside the backyard with my children. I would never do it. I would have that dog on a chain. And if that dog ever lunged at my children, that dog would never be in my yard again because it's unpredictable. Now, you would never allow that in your yard, and yet you will allow a television and an internet without any chains at all in your home, and it lunges at your children for the death of their soul every day. Is the television unpredictable? Are you sure about that? No questions? So why don't we chain up the dog? Can you chain up the dog? You may need to let that dog go somewhere else. You may need to kick that dog out of the neighborhood. You may need to cut the cable off. I don't know what you need to do, but you need to be careful, is what you need. You need to be careful, because fathers, you're ultimately responsible for making sure this happens in your home. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That is, don't give them a reason to rebel. But train them, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So there is that positive protection, the nurture. But I want you to see, secondly, as we get into admonishment, that the father is not only a fence, he is an admonisher. And this is A in father. He is an admonisher in the home. And this has to do with the negative aspect of the protection in the home. Admonition means, quote, warning, correction, exhortation, and at times, rebuke, unquote. Now, warnings are life-saving mechanisms, are they not? I am certain that those who suffered tornadoes in their towns this past week were glad for the tornado sirens. We're all thankful for smoke alarms that warn us of a raging inferno that will destroy our home and our family. It takes life away. Warnings are very important. They're life-saving mechanisms. And there needs to be a firmness, a warning, and the admonition that needs to come when a child begins to wander outside of that fence. And that brings up the issue of discipline. What method of correction should the parent use? Should the parent use verbal rebuke? Should the parent use timeouts? How about grounding? How about corporal punishment? All of the above? Listen to this. Some secular experts, they will tell you that all forms of physical punishment will hurt the psyche of the child. Now, there are 9 million other grandfathers and grandmothers that will dispute that, and probably many more. Some even go so far to say, some of these experts say that parents should never use any kind of negative reinforcement with the children at all. Positive reinforcement alone is enough. And I want you to know that the Bible says otherwise. The Bible prescribes corporal punishment and says it is necessary if that parent is loving the child. That is, if you are not using corporal punishment in your home, you do not love your child according to the Bible. Proverbs 13:24 says that he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. In fact, we learn this from God the Father himself. Whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chasteneth. Now, wouldn't it be better for a child to receive a loving rebuke from you instead of getting his hand burned off on that stove? Which is worse? We need to do the loving thing and keep our children out of the state penitentiary
by using corporal punishment when they're young, so that they know the boundaries, so that they know there are consequences to every choice that they make. And when they make a wrong choice, they need to hear it firmly, without any inconsistency, and unequivocally, that it is absolutely wrong and it will never happen again in this house, ever. You need to know that. They need to have that firmly in their soul. This will make them prosperous in life. This will make them prosper because they'll be able to have good relations with other people. They'll understand how authority works. And every single one of us is under authority. We all are submissive to some authority. If you don't believe me, just go ahead, out of here, go 80 miles an hour, blow every stoplight, and I want to see how far you get. Just want to see that. We're all under authority. Teach your child the barriers. Show your child the boundaries of where the fence is. How should I use corporal punishment? Well, I'm not going to demonstrate it, but I want to give you some principles. You should be absolutely consistent. Let me tell you what not to do. Your child is rebelling, defiant, and you say, one, two, come on, you better obey now. Two and a half, two and three quarters. What are you teaching that child? You are teaching that child that they have 2 seconds of wallowing in rebellion before they have to obey you. And they will use that principle for the rest of their lives. They will never get anything done on time. They will always be breaking the barriers. They will always be lacking in life if you teach them that way. You need to be consistent, and it is the father's responsibility to make sure this takes place. In other words, as Matthew 5:37 says, let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. When your child hears you say no, they need to know that you mean it. And when they hear you say yes, they need to know that you mean it. This has to do with the fifth commandment. And when we go over the fifth commandment in our family, and this is really the only rule in our house. This is it. It's the fifth commandment. And tell me what the fifth commandment is. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's right. And how should a child obey? Immediately. Completely. And with a happy attitude. That is sweetly. Your child should know that. Your child, from the time that they can utter those words, even if they don't know what they mean, they should be able to say the fifth commandment and say how they should obey you. And they can obey you from the littlest on. If they can crawl, they can obey you. Let me give you a little example. When William was 2 years old, he was having a meal. And he didn't want to eat, I don't remember what we're having, let's just say his peas. Okay? And Mommy had a big spoonful of peas. And Will did this. What is that? That is willful defiance. That is rebellion. You say, that's rebellion? Well, yes. And if you deal with it there, you'll not have to deal with it later. And so, you only need to do this once, maybe twice. I have a board meeting with my son. And we applied the Board of Education to the scene of learning. And now he's 2 years old, so I mean, this is more of a love tap, okay? This is nothing more than a lady would do to birth her child. That's all it is. But because he heard my voice, I said, son, you will never do that ever again. Do you understand me? I love you very, very much. You will never, ever do that again. Just the tone of voice had him shaking. I didn't yell at him. I was very careful. I was very controlled. But he understood that God was displeased and I was displeased. He didn't need a theological lecture. Something communicated to the scene of education. Okay? Now, the next time that he was at the table, And he was like, didn't want to open his mouth. I said, son, it's time to eat your peas. And you know what he did? Open wide. And it's that way in everything. If a child slams the door, maybe they've never done it before, then you have that child. Child, that is not what, we don't slam doors in the house, ever. You'll never do that again. Do you understand that? Yes. Okay. If they slam, and then what I like to do is positive reinforcement. Plenty of positive. Let's try that. You come into the door, knock on the door, and then quietly shut the door. Good job. Do it 3, 4, 5, 10 times. They'll love it. And every time they come in, they'll want a reward. They'll shut the door. And I'll always notice it. Honey, thank you for shutting the door quietly. And you'll never have a problem again. Now, if they defy you, you apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning in a loving, consistent way. And you never allow it one time to let them go. Because then you've lost it all. Now, if you allow that, then you've got to retrain and be consistent all over again. So that's the first rule, is consistently. Secondly, be fair. The punishment should fit the crime. Anytime there is willful defiance, it should be dealt with corporal punishment. What is willful defiance? It is when a child does not obey, what? Immediately, completely, sweetly, with a happy attitude. Anytime a child throws a fit, anytime a child hits or pouts or takes something, they are willfully defiant and they need your love. Firmly. Very firmly applied. They need to be able to say, you need to hear them say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. If they can say mama, then they can say, yes, mama, or yes, ma'am. If they can say papa, then they can say, yes, papa, or yes, sir. And they should. As soon as they are able to do that, they need to understand who's in charge. Are you in charge? You want to have a conference about it with your child? No. You are in charge by God. And then there needs to be all kinds of positive reinforcement. There should be lots of love and praise. Think about how you like to be treated. Do you like to be praised? Or do you like to be scolded? You should never, ever, ever scold your child. Ever. Never. It should never happen. You should lovingly admonish them. There is a big difference. There's a whole lot of love in admonishment. So if you're training your children right, corporal punishment may be necessary at first, but it will get less and less by the time the children are school age. You'll rarely have to spank them for most children. Okay? So F is for fence. A is for admonisher. A father is a fence, an admonisher. Thirdly, the father is a trainer. T stands for trainer in the home. And we are already out of time, so you're going to have to come for the rest of the message and what training is. We're going to start with training this evening, and I'm going to show you how you can do family devotions in your home with your children. And I haven't decided whether I'm going to use my children or not. We may just call several of the children up from the congregation and have family devotions here tonight. But we're going to talk about the father is a trainer, and he's responsible to train the children. The father is the head of the home, that's H. The father is an encourager. He's not to provoke his children to wrath. He's not to provoke them to rebel. He's an encourager. And finally, he's a role model. Come back tonight, we're going to find out about all of that. But right now, I want you to think about a father that changes the world. Are you a father that changes the world? Are you seeing change in your children that they are every day growing and changing to be more like Jesus Christ?